that we saw that according to the Rabbanan, if you have Pagasha Timna B'Tevin, if it's Megula Miktsasas Mutter, otherwise it's us, and Rav Lazar Ben Tadai says even if it's not Megula Miktsasa, Tochlin B'Kush O B'Karkar. We, of course, paskin like Rav Lazar Ben Tadai. However, the question we raised was, what is the pshat in the Rabbanan? Why in the world are they Megil? In other words, seemingly the Rabbanan reject Tiltol Menatzad being Mutter, and therefore, l'chayirah should be aser, even if it's megula miktasa, because you're going to be moving the muksa when you remove this. So, we mentioned briefly that there are three approaches in the Rishonim. Rashi says it's not considered tiltal. In other words, even though indirectly there's going to be some movement of muksa, but that type of movement, that type of collateral movement, is grum of some sort, and that's okay. Tiltol menatzad is only direct indirect movement of moksa, but not a collateral movement of moksa. Tosfos on daf mem dalet amud aleph gives a different answer. He says that the chachamim are matir near. In other words, we know there's two types of tiltol menatzad. There's near, and then there's what Tosfos over here calls a tiltol gomor. Which doesn't mean tiltol gomor, it means tiltol gomor menatzad. There's two categories of tiltol menatzad. L'halach, even though we're mekel for tiltol menatzad zoch davar mutter, we always try to do near if we can. Anyhow, Tosfo says that according to Rabbanan, they would permit tiltol menatzad, which is near, which is one the lower level of tiltol menatzad, but they would be machmir for tiltol gomor menatzad. And therefore, when it's Megula Miktsasa, there's only Nir, so they're Mako. Whereas when it's entirely covered, they don't consider that Nir, and it would be awesome. That's interesting, because that too is Nir. Presumably the answer is that since when I pick it up, I'm not just dumping it off. I'm first picking it up, and then it'll fall off, or something like that. So then that's not Nir. The third answer is the Ramban, which is on Mem Dal and Aleph, and it's quoted by a number of Rishonim over here. I just want to highlight, though, you see that the Baal HaMor doesn't learn what Tosfos, because the Baal HaMor says that how do we know we paskin like Reb Lazar Ben Tadai, because the Mishnah later on says Nir's Mutter. Now, if you hold like Tosfos, even the Rabbanan Reb Lazar Ben Tadai are Mati Nir. So you see that he didn't learn that one. Anyhow, the Ramban has a third approach. The Ramban says that really, even the Rabbanan are matir tiltol menatzad. Otherwise, Megula Miktsasa would be aser. And the reason why they are machmir when it's entirely covered is not alts a restriction on tiltol menatzad, but rather when you entirely cover it, it's batel to the charam. In other words, when you bury something mutter in muksa entirely, so then it becomes batel, something kin to basis, I suppose, and that's why it's aser letaltel. Good, very big chiddush in Ramban, and other Rishonim and the Chachmei Sfarad say it over here as well. Now, l'chayr, what comes out according to the Ramban is that any type of secondary movement or collateral movement is begeder tiltol menatzad. In other words, why didn't the Ramban learn like Rashi? Because even if it's megula miktsasa, it's still begeder tiltol menatzad. Rashi is saying megula miktsasa isn't tiltol menatzad. Ramban is saying megula miktsasa is tiltol menatzad. Tosfos is also saying along the lines of Ramban in the sense that it's a type of tiltol menatzad. It's just a lower level tiltol menatzad is what we call Nir. Right? So nafka mina might be like this. Let's assume we hold like the Ritva. Remember, this goes back to a while back. We asked, what's the reason why it's mutter to do tiltol menatzad over itself and mutter not zotav asa? What's the theory behind that? So the Ritva says, because they are matir and tiltol menatzad letzar Shabbos. So if you hold like the Ritva, so what would be if let's give an example. Let's say you wanted this paga was megula mitzasa, and you wanted to move it, not because you needed it on Shabbos, not because you wanted to eat this paga, because you didn't want it to get stolen or wrecked or crushed or something like that, right? So now, if you call this tiltum and atzad, then it would be aser, because this is tiltum and atzad shalol tzar Shabbos, right? My peach is halfway buried in dirt. So when I pick up the peach, all the dirt's going to fill in the hole, and it's going to move. According to Rashi, that would be mutter. It's not tiltum and atzad. So even though it's not l'tzar Shabbos, because I'm not going to eat my peach anyway till Sunday or Monday, it's still too hard, but it doesn't matter. It's not tiltum and atzad. Whereas if you learn, like the Ramban, or like Tosos, it would be considered tiltum and atzad. And therefore, since this is l'tzar Shabbos, it would be mutter. Now, if you understood tiltum and atzad like the Chazon Ish, that the tiltum is mesiaches to the heter, not the iser, then it would be mutter to move it. Because here, the tiltum is mesiaches to the heter, namely the peach. The peach is a moksa. But if you learn like the Ritva, that we're only matter, just when it's out, it's off of our mutter, l'tzar Shabbos, meaning to say, and you hold like Ramban or Tosus, that this is considered tiltum and atzad, then it would be us. If you hold like Rashi, then it would be mutter. Okay, then the Gemara, on the bottom of Kuchav Gimel Amud Aleph, has a machlokas between Abai and Rava in terms of the relationship between Tuma and Muksa. Abaye says more or less that we don't really compare Tuma to Muksa. Why? Because in terms of the question of how do you define a Kli, because Tuma Kli Maisa is talking Kli Maisa, and Shabbos Midi Dechazi. So therefore, he says that if you have a needle who's missing its head or it's missing its tip, so it still retains its Taurus Kli, and its mutter, therefore, to use it to remove a coat. That's the opinion of Abaye. And Rava disagrees. He says, no, Midalinyan, Tuma, it's not a Kli, so to Linyan Shabbos, it's not a Kli. Obviously, he's not going to say every halacha of Kli is dependent on Tuma. First of all, we'll see the Gemara moment, this is going to somewhat limit this, but even in Avamina, there are going to be technical rules in the world of Tuma that surely don't carry over to Shabbos, like Pshutei Kli Eitz or something like that, maybe. But that's because it's like a Zeres HaKasov in the world of Tuma, that it's not a double Tuma. But I assume what he means is anything that, when something is not Mekabel Tuma because it's not a Kli, like it's not useful, for example, the broken needle is not Mekabel Tuma because it's not useful, at least in the normal sense. So there's no reason why Shabbos and Tuma would employ different standards. That's what Rava says. And the Gemara then clarifies, though, that by Golmi, he would agree that it's a Kli for Shabbos, even though it's not a Kli for Tuma, because sometimes people decide not to anyway turn their golmis into needles. They might keep them, let's say, for splinter removal, whereas for Tuma, that wouldn't be true. But if it was a needle and then it broke, so therefore, even for Shabbos, it's not a Kli, the Gemara says, because Adam Zarka Bein Utobs. Now, Tosfos limits this ruling of Rava based off of the Gemara later on. And Toso says, you know, even though it sounds like Rava saying we should really equate Shabbos to Tuma, it's not a one-on-one equation. Rather, there's a relationship. Namely, anything that Le'inyan Tuma would be Mekabel Tuma, would be a Kli al Yidei Machshava or Yichud or the like, if I could make this be Mekabel Tuma, then Minastam, it's Mutar on Shabbos, or it's Taurus Kli with respect to Shabbos. And therefore, in the world of, let's say, Shivri Kalim, so Shivri Kalim that aren't a little Zika, so Shabbos, they're a Kli, because in the world of Tuma, I could make it a Kli if I wanted to, if I decided that this is some garbage, but rather this is something that I want to use it for something or other. Now, we paskin, like Rava, that, and therefore, let's say, the needle that breaks would be Aser. And the reason the Gemara explains is because it's only the Zrika. So an interesting question comes up, and I'm going to maybe raise this issue now, and we'll probably come back to it tomorrow or so when the Gemara gets back to this point. But an interesting question to think about is like this. Let's say this was Shabbos, and a lot of you here have these plastic cups. So you're allowed to use a plastic cup on Shabbos. And now you're finished your plastic cup. You're finished drinking. This is basically garbage, right? Garbage. So it's omid lizari. Now remember, the Gemara said that according to Rav, the reason why this needle, even though it's usable for something else, it's still usable, lito lesa kox, but it's muksa, because adam zarka being rutos. So maybe these used disposable cups would also be muksa, because they're omdim lizari. Now you know the Gemara later on, again, go back to this, if you haven't seen it yet, clarifies that if you have like a perfectly usable kli, throwing in the garbage doesn't make any difference, because it's rabbi lo malach to mishona. But maybe for something like disposable cups, which are basically garbage, now there's nothing inherently about them that's garbage. You could wash them out and use them again, they'd be perfectly good. There are probably some people born more than 70 years ago who still do that. But the reality, the way they're used, is that they're seen as garbage. Or would we say no, that this is not like the broken needles? The broken needles are not fit for their initial use. And that's where we say, since they're omdin lizarek, that vatal torus kli, and they're muksa now, even though theoretically you can still use them to take out a splinter. But something like plastic cups, we'll have to figure out whether they're muksa after you put them in the garbage, but certainly before you put them in the garbage, the decision that you're done drinking and this is garbage doesn't yet make them muksa. It's not like the needles. Now, the basic question is, the svara of Adam Zarka, right? The Gemara svara, Hecha denital charara uktza, Adam Zarka lebein grutaus, and therefore it's muksa now. Because Adam Zarka ben Gutos, Rav the Svar. The question is, what are the limits of that? Does that mean anything that Adam Zarka la'ashva is muksa, even though it has some use still theoretically? Or do we say, no, it's only something that's ruined from its standard use, like the broken needle, that's true. This is a machlokas among the contemporary poskim. Rishon Zalman Arvach is quoted as being machmir about that. Which can be very tricky when it comes to cleaning tables. And the Chut HaShani and Rosh Sheinberg are Megill. And then there might be further discussion what the halacha is after you throw them in the garbage, whether or not they become muksa. And that's obviously a big enough thing in terms of the questions we began discussing before, taking out garbage and Shabbos, where really, very frequently, most of the garbage in our garbage cans are going to be something in these categories. So we're going to return to that question in a minute. I'll just want one more point. Now, all this is the approach of Tosfos. But the Rashba has a different answer. It's on Kuchav Hay in terms of dealing with the question that Tosfos raises of Shivrei Kalim. He says the Pshat in Shivrei Kalim that, right, again, the question basically is that Shivrei Kalim are omdim lizrika, yet they're not muksa. So the answer is that it depends on whether it's Shabbos or before Shabbos. If they grow on Shabbos, then they're not muksa. That's why Shivrei Kalim are muksa, even though you're going to throw them out. And the case of the needle, what we say is muksa, because of Adam Zarkabay Brutos, is where it broke before Shabbos. Right, so then the halacha is like this. When you have a kli that breaks, so what's that could still be used for something else, but right now it's broken, like Shivrei Kalim or the Machat Shenishbaras. So when the Rashba says, well, when did it break? It broke before Shabbos, it's muksa, because, like Rava says, Medelinian Tuma, Lav Kliu, Linian Shabbos, Lav Kliu, it's muksa. But breaks on Shabbos, so then, since the beginning of Shabbos, it was not yet muksa, it remains non muksa. Right, so when the Rashba, clearing the table from the disposable cups, assuming that you use the cups on Shabbos, that would not be a shaila. That would certainly be mutter. Now, it might not help us, because, as I said, the one in front, at least, quotes pasuk like Tosos. Kibega does cite the Rashba, so it's going to be an interesting question how we pass it. We were saying how the Rashba is a kula over Tosos. Rashba could also be a chumra over Tosos, if it broke during the week, but it's shayach yichud, right? In other words, let's say you have a kli that broke during the week, but aydei machshava, it can have taras kli in the world of tumah. So then, according to Tosfos, it would be a kli in Shabbos. According to Rashba, it wouldn't be a kli in Shabbos, at least unless you were machashe. But without being machashe, it still wouldn't be a kli. Yes?
It's the idea that when the matter breaks and comes, or the sort of Rashba, because most people wouldn't be at it, meaning you're by Roy Dasir.
No, well, Evan is a little different because Evan is Muxanamas Gufa. It's Muxanamish, and then the question is unless you are Miyachid, in which case, and we'll have to see what you need to do for Yichud, but when you are Miyachid, then it's Tosklid.
The person
who Miyachid. What?
The person who Miyachid wrote
another. Sure. I think that there's low gar from Evan. Now, there's no debate. If I am Miyachid, my broken Machat, as a splinter removal device, I put it in my mirror, and okay, every time somebody gets a splinter, they're gonna use this. Then there would be no debate, I imagine, between, again, we'll have to forget what is needed for yichud, the olam, the mice, and the like. But if you did the yichud, the type of yichud that would work for a stone, it would certainly work over here, I imagine. We'll get to yichud. So, if you did whatever you need to make something that's muksa, non-muksa, so that would certainly be the debate is where you didn't do that, right? That's the debate.
The question was,
if I go ahead and I designate my disposable cup as a permanent cup, obviously something to talk about. The only question is when, as far as you're concerned, you're using it on Shabbos, and as far as you're concerned, it's garbage. Well, not just you. You're not a Mishnah, a different person. Everybody sees this as garbage. Everybody sees used cups as garbage. There's nothing like really inherently garbage about it. Like, we're just lazy, and we don't like to wash cups. We'd much rather throw them out, because they cost 1 cent. But that's where there's a debate. That's where you could say, on the one hand, maybe this should be like the machat, because it's only the zareh. Or maybe you could say, no, the machat, it's only going to be this rule of Rava that only the Zarek becomes looks already now, even though it has some type of tashmish, is only true when it is somehow tainted or broken. Okay. Turning to Kofav Nomon base, we have, once again, the sugya of Muksa Machmas Chisalam Kis. The Mishnah says that all kelim are mutter. Chutz min ha-meser gadol yasim harisha. Now, we had before that mutter of Shem b'sichi zarzuri. Now we have yaseid ha-gadol, meser gadol yasim harisha. Agav, what are these things? So Rashi writes on Mishnah. Let's just take a look at these Rashis. Meser ha-gadol, megir b'dayla shasu liktos koros. You see from here that even though we usually think of Muksa Machsar and Kis as like very fragile things, I imagine this like giant saw is not that fragile because otherwise you couldn't use it to cut koros. Rather, and I think I saw this in one of the books, rather the pshat is, as Rashi is about to say, that kapat alayim riachim amakom. Obviously, you're more likely to have fragile or expensive things be muksa machsam kis than non-fragile things, because you're more likely to be makbid about fragile things. But it's not like a rule, and if you're makbid about something that's big, heavy, and not fragile, but you happen to be makbid about it for whatever reason, so then it'll still be muksa machmas chisam kis. Yasid shal macharisha, Rashi says, Hukli gadol ha'asi kisakin shavu osin chritz shal telem ha'me'anefa. Now, and again, what makes these moksa? So, Rashi takes the lashon we said before, namely kapital ayam yach lamakom, and applies it here as well. So, according to Rashi, there's just one category of moksa machson, kis ikhna zuri, and yas shemar chareisha, masar gadol, all the same thing. I don't want to get into it now, but I saw that the Sefer Mishnah Shabbos shows that according to a number of Rishonim, it's mochrach, that there's actually two parshios. There's Sichzar Zuri and these two. That's why they're separated, and they might not even have the same halachos and the like. We probably don't pass in that way, and since it's already late, we won't get into the details, but I think it's... Rashi clearly doesn't say that, but it's a very interesting idea. Now, the Gemara continues here, and if you skip to Rashi Chatzina, the Gemara has numerous other examples of Mux Masar and Kis, and by Chatzina it says, Kolhani Kapti Alayhu, Mishum Demifagmi, Umaxi Luhu Biadai. So they're very interesting. Now, why does Rashi say this? It makes a lot of sense. Rashi already told us that the Isser on Mux Masar and Kis is due to the Haktzah. Now, we know in the point of Rashi we need two things. Rashi told us before. Rashi said we need Haktzah Biadai and Lochazi. So Lochazi, fine, you have, in the sense that these are basically not fit for any type of melachas heter, like Rashi said in the Mishnah, the lochazu lemelacha cheres. So we could say the lochazi, but we know that lochazi isn't enough for Rabbi Shimon. You also need dachinu biyadayim. That's what Rashi over here says. It's machinu biyadayim. Now the question is, Rashi dibur hamaschil chatzina. Now. The question is, where is the Matzil Biyadayim? In other words, the other case of Matzil Biyadayim, where we said Reb Shimon is Machmir, so we know where it is, right? I put the grapes on my roof, so it's Tachin Biyadayim. I light the Kos Kar Vashashis, so it's Tachin Biyadayim by lighting it. Over here, where is the Tachin Biyadayim? Imagine the answer is that it's Tachin Biyadayim when you put it in its place. In other words, Miyachlu Makom is not just a simon about your Kepeda, but it is the Dechiyah Biyadayim. I wonder, that could explain possibly about why we're always emphasizing Miach L'makom. It's an interesting question. Two questions. Number one is, according to this, let's say I didn't put it in this place. Because I accidentally left my, let's assume for a moment, my laptop is going to be Mux Machzor and Kis, right? But I didn't. I left it on my bed. It's okay. It's certainly Tzolchazi B'mach Acheres. It's fine. But where was the Haktab Yadayim? I left it on my bed. I don't know. Maybe according to Rashi, that wouldn't be Mux Machzor and Kis. Well, but I wasn't this Shabbos. In other words, L'chorah, I would imagine, I don't know, I would have thought that Maxul Yadayim needs Maxul Yadayim. Unless you say, you know, it needs something. It needs something active. Now, I don't know if we paskin like this, Rashi. I imagine we don't necessarily, but Maxul Yadayim means you need something to be Yadayim, right? So even though Rashi and Beitza maybe allows for like a passive type of Haksab Yadayim, the Lolak Tinhu, so, but you don't even have that over here. Where's my even sort of passive dechiyah biyadayim on my laptop? I was using my laptop till the last minute for Shabbos. You know, I had to make my drasha. And then, okay, I look at the clock. I put down my laptop. I run into the shower. I go straight to shul, come home. And lo and behold, my laptop's still in my bed. So there's really no dechiyah biyadayim. There's not active or not passive. Okay. So we understand why Rashi's saying it. But... I don't know. I think that I wonder if that would be the din. At least Rashi is saying the case of Mux Machzor and Kis. Or when I put my laptop away in my where it belongs, I still then it's Mux Machzor and Kis. Another thing, you know, maybe you see from Rashi is if you have Mux Machzor and Kis that doesn't have any Yichud Makom, so then it wouldn't have Dachin or Biyadayim, it wouldn't be Muxa. We were talking about the question of paper, Bismana Zeb. So you can make the case that really standard paper. It's not comfortable at all because maybe stationery is different. It's expensive. You're not to use it for anything but cases where you need an official stationery. But it's down paper. But Ramosha, and again, Ramosha said this. Whether he would say so now, I don't know. Things change now. Even since Rav Moshe was around, the level of sort of disposability of everything has changed significantly. But at least Rav Moshe held that even though paper is cheap, it's still most of the time, yes. What? Okay, I don't know. That's not really bothering me. Really standard paper. Oh, did they sound kiss? I don't know if that's what I'm sure. Okay, some say that it is going to be sound kiss, even though it's not the Achim Lubachim. Certainly that's right. Rav Moshe wasn't into the Yuchamakom business. But maybe again, according to this Rashi. Well, if you don't, in other words, it depends how you keep your paper. Some people do have the Yuchamakom for paper. And I don't know, like six other places where you happen to keep paper around. There's some on my table. Well, no, if you're still makbid, that I'm not going to use it for anything else but writing. In other words, if let's say somebody wanted to use this paper for anything but writing or iser use. So a makbid might not be very expensive, but a makbid. I'm not gonna use a paper anything besides its use.
Well, Maisa, if you don't have pictures, you use it.
That's. But if you hold, also, if I don't have any other writing utensil, any other knife, I'll use my sack and shoshita to cut my food. I have nothing else.
I think I would use my hands.
I don't know. I think that the fact that b'shas adchak, if I have nothing else, I would use this for another tashmish, isn't but I'm generally speaking very makbid about it, doesn't prevent it from being with some kids. That's why, that's a chiddush of Muksmasan Kis being Aser L'Tzach Kufa. There's even though now, Epis, I want to use my Shechita knife for an orange. And I might even do that, again, if I want to eat an orange and there's no other knife available, so maybe I would use it. But otherwise, in the event that there's any other knife available, I'm not going to use my Shechita knife because I don't want to risk wrecking it. It would probably still be Muksmasan Kis. So the same thing for paper. Again, if I don't have toilet paper, I'll use paper. But any other time, I'm going to be makbid. So you could argue again. You could argue that it's still Muksamach Sam Kis, even if it's not Miachel Makom. Again, maybe that's not the way people use paper anymore. People are not makbid at all about paper. And happens to be that there aren't so many things you could do with paper. So therefore, practically, you're unlikely to do anything with paper other than write on it. But it's not because of a kpeda, just because of a lack of, hechtimsa. If there were other things to use paper, I would use paper. I would use paper to wrap up my food, and I would use paper to clean the floor and other things. It's not so then.
I've done that in the basement.
Right. So then it would be mutter. Then everybody would use mutter. Okay, good. Anyway. Continuing on to Kilchot Dalet and Aleph, we have over here the Gemara at the bottom, Kilchot Dalet and base has four Mishnayos that we say are Kodem Hataras Kelim Mishnah, meaning to say, as we discussed, Nechamiah went ahead and asserted Kim'at all Kelim, and Chazer Tiva, there's Machlokes and Marayim, how much and when he was Matir, and the Gemara says, but there were a bunch of Mishnayos that were stated Kodem Chazara. And then the Gemara says, no, really, we could say that they're after Chazara. How so? So, Amar Rabba, Mimai, Doma Liolam Amal Emelcha, Lachar Taskeu Mishnu, Kanim Tai Mimai, Mishum Iafushe, by Porta Lom Iafish. What does that mean? That really putting in the kanim is aser, even though kanim l'chora a klish machta l'hatter, but still it's not really necessary. You could wait till Motzei Shabbos. So why would you do it? Now, first we're going to go to a mitzvah thing. We just I see an interesting thing here. There is a mitzvah in the Torah of Arichas Lechem Apanim on Shabbos. Yom HaShabbos, Yom HaShabbos, Yachanu Lechem HaShem Tamid. So, how in the world could we not do this, right? Let's say the original understanding was it was supposed to exist in Nechemia. So what? Nechemia went ahead and did away with the mitzvah from the Raisa. So the Tosafot says, yeah, Enochanami, Akirstav in the Torah, Sheval Tasa. And this is considered Sheval Tasa, which might also be a Chiddush. Simply because you're failing to put in those little tubes. So failure to put in the tubes is a kirtam in a Torah Sheval Tasa. Good. So that's how we could say it was Nishnes Kodim Xer Stachemia. But now, what are we doing? We're saying, no. Actually, it has nothing to do with Xer Stachemia. Nothing to do with Muxa. Muxa wouldn't be a problem at all. But rather, it's just unnecessary, right? It's unnecessary. So I don't understand what we're doing. Darshina time of the crowd.
It's probably Mitzvah.
That's what, obviously Tosafot Rashi taught that, otherwise it would have to come out of Kirtan in the Torah. So maybe it's a Tosafot Rashi Shitasa. Tosafot Rashi Bava Metzia says that when the tam of a reason of a mitzvah is obvious, then determining the parameters of mitzvah based off of that tam is not a Kirtan in the Torah. The example that he says in Bava Metzia is there's a whole Gemara about the Isser of Lesach, Som, Haiser of Gehemto, Matrezes, Olechas, I don't even know how to muzzle the animal while it's threshing, but what about if the animal has diarrhea and it's going to be, the more it eats, the more it gets sick. So the Gemara says, Shiloh, you're allowed to muzzle it because if the whole reason is because of the Tzar of the Behemah, so here the Behemah will be more Tzar if it's not muzzled, so it should be muzzled to muzzle it. So ask the Shiloh, Lodesh in time to cry, what are we doing over here? And he says, nah, that the whole reason why English time to cry is because you have no right to use the tam to go get the pashas in the pasuk, right? To say that the iser of l'safabed of amana is only by an amana aniya and not an amana shira, that's against the pashas. But where the reason of the mitzvah is so obvious, like l'safsom, so then it's not darshin on time to cry to use the tam of the mitzvah to go against the reasons. Maybe that's what shot over here. In other words, what we're saying is that the reason for the Seder Kanim is so obviously Mishum Yafushe, so then we're allowed to go ahead and basically use the reason of the mitzvah to determine the parameters of the mitzvah, and therefore it's going to be okay to not do Seder HaKanim, at least wait till Motzei Shabbos, because the whole time isn't relevant, so then we're going to determine the parameters of the mitzvah based off of the reason, because it's obvious it's not against the Pashti Dekra. Anyway, but what's more relevant for us in terms of Hilchos Mitzvah, Muksa, is the following question. So what is this? What are these kanim? Right? What are these kanim? So the kanim chaya are just a klishmachta l'hatter, right? These are these golden tubes, half tubes, that were used to put in between the bread. So they don't really do anything. So they're klishmachta l'hatter. So why is it Asr? What's going on over here? Klishmach to Hatter is Matel Tzarech Ufa Ufa. Right? So, if you take a look at the Tosus HaRash, the Rash, Brother Mitzvah, well, they all give more or less the same answer. B'hai Porta Lo Miafesh B'have Kemo Mechama Letzel Mihu Tema B'hama Lachto Leheter. In other words, Mechama Letzel, I understand why we could say that it's not Tzarech Gufo because you don't really need to do this, it's not going to get moldy on Shabbos, So if I wait till once a Shabbos, it's fine. I could wait. But still, it's a Bishatul Hatter. Says the Taisus HaRash. Ah! But who's talking over here? So there's, in the Rishonim, actually, we'll see that there were two Girsos. Some had Rava, some had Rava. Our Gir says Rava. And he says, well, according to Rava, it's no problem. Because remember, what did Rava hold? That even a Bishatul Hatter is Aser. So yeah, this is Chama Watzel. And Rav, but if you hold like Rava, then this would be true. Now that's actually very important, because that would mean that we shouldn't paskin this way. Paskin like Rava, right? Okay. And the Ritva, the Rajva, they all give the same answer. Good. Now, then we have... another reading on in the Gemara. Maklos, Avshak Rebbe Lazar. So what's going on over there? They would bring the Karmel Pesach on Shabbos when they fell out on Pesach, and during the week they would use what Erev Pesach fell out on Chol. So they would have these sticks that they would use to hang the animal to do the Avshak. And on Shabbos, so then what would they do? They would use their arms to hang the animal from. So the Gemara is saying, now, is that Klishmachtel Isser or Klishmachtel Hatter, first of all? In other words, skinning normally is Isser, but at the same time, what is it? It is Meleches Isser, it's Mutter on Shabbos. It's Karban Pesach, it's a Karban Shavuot Ozman, it's Tocha Shabbos. So, that's an interesting question. In other words, we're saying this should be Mutter. Right? Is the pshat, but how do we categorize this? So we saw over there, we saw earlier, we discussed this. We talked about the diabetes blood counter, and it's a similar type of question, right? We saw that, at least the Orchel Shabbos said that makes it a klishmach latter. Okay, so this is a klishmach latter. And we say that the reason why it's still aser is because you have another eitzah. Afshar, you have the option of using your arms. So the Bir Halach, the Shar Tzion, the Mishavura, makes a very interesting deal from this Gemara. He says, you know what? You know what? See from here that even though there's a heter of using a klishna plus a tachkuvum kamo, but still, it's going to be aser if you have another good option. In other words, if I could use a nutcracker, or if you use my hammer, I'm not allowed to use the hammer, even though it's a tachkuvo, I have another good option. How do you see that over here? Where it says, afshar v'drabal aser. Now, the truth is, you could say, well, this isn't a good raya, this is rabba, right? Especially if you say, well, this is a klishmachtel hatter, right? This is a klishmachtel hatter, and we're saying that you should avoid it. But maybe we pass them like lava. But still, you have a raya. Oh, the pashtus, you have a raya. It's true that we pass them like lava against rabba. But a klishmachtel iser, lididan, which is much only zachru zachmakomo, should be equivalent to a klishmachtel hatter. According to Rabbah, which is also one of the Tzachu, and since Rabbah said that you have to avoid it if you could, and therefore, if you have another option, you can't be lenient, so too, Lididan, at the very least, at least not the Yisr, you should try to avoid it if you could. That's a deeper Mishnah Berurah. Now, there's another answer given to by the Rishonim to the question that we asked before. The question he asked was, L'cha'ora, the kanim, our klishmachtel hetter, should be mutter tzachkufo, right? So who cares that it's not going to rot on Shabbos, but it's tzachkufo. So in the Ritva Hamiyuchas Varan, as you might have noticed, there's like a whole bunch of Ritvas and a whole bunch of Rans. It's always tricky to get confused, but this is the old Ritvas, not the most overcooked Ritvas, or in the back of the Ran that I have, the Chidush Ran, there's the front and the back. The front is the Shita Ran, and the back is the Ritva Miuchas Ran. Anyway, in that Rishon, whoever exactly wrote it, it gives a different answer to this question. And the answer is, and he is Gori Sarava, and he see from here that this is called Shalom L'Tzoch Kal. And then there's a very big chiddush. It's basically telling us, yes, these kanim are klish machtel hatter, and yet, yes, we paskin that klish machtel hatter is mutter, even mechamel itzel. Mechamel itzel is mutter, mechamel itzel, to prevent it from getting stolen. But for no use, it's aser. Now, we've mentioned that idea before on the Rambam, the Rambam, and that's a very nice deal that we said before, right? Hatir, chalatir, chalatir, so they're not, there's not the latter, even the chalatel. Chalatel in, but shol tzach bal, no. But this is a much bigger chiddush in terms of applying that principle, because this is definitely with tzairach. It might not be with tzach Shabbos, because you could, it's not going to start getting moldy if you wait till after Shabbos, but it's definitely tzairach, right? And yet, it's considered shalom l'tzorach klal, which
why is
usher.
Why is there any more of a chiddush than the original diuk?
Sorry?
Why is there any more of a chiddush than the original diuk?
The original diuk?
Meaning,
well,
say,
the question is, what does shalom l'tzorach klal mean? That's going to be a question. I don't know if we're going to get to it today. Very important question. In other words, chalom l'tzorach matir shalom l'tzorach klal is usher. So what is shalom l'tzorach klal? So you can read the shalom l'tzorach klal minimally. In other words, a pointless activity. Right? And then you can clear about, you know, totally twiddling your spoon or whatever it is, right? So how do you understand shalom l'tzach klal? That's aser. So that's not clear. That's not clear. But maybe you could have understood without this Ran, I would have said that shalom l'tzach klal means you may not use a klish machtel hatter for a pointless activity. And then I would have said that this is not pointless. This is a very good point. Yeah, it's true. I don't need to do it right now. I can wait for a couple hours, but there's a point. And clearly, that's what the Ritva, the Rashba, the Tosafot Rosh are all assuming. Now, as they're saying, this is only according to Rava that this answer works. But according to Rava, where Chamel Etzel is mutter, so this would also be mutter. It would be mutter to put the kanim in between the bread, right? According to Rava. Only according to Rava would it be aser.
So you
according to Rava, you'll still have to say this is kodem shetiru. That's what they say. According to Rava, you'll have to say it's kodem shetiru, because if Chamel tells mutter, so certainly this is mutter. Says the Ran, no. That even Rava would agree. In other words, if you want to sort of say it a little differently, le halacha le maisa, how should they, you know, put the kanim back on Shabbos or not? La'achar shetivu, right? La'achar shetivu. Should they put it back or not? If you ask the Ritva and the Rosh and the Rashba, they would say Avada, because we pass them like Rava, and this is klish machtel hatter, so it's mutter. Blow gara from Chamel Etzel.
Or isn't that a single gar, meaning it is Chamel Etzel?
Okay, fine, call it Chamel Etzel. Says the Ran, no, it would be Aser. This is Shlomo Tzarech Klal. Because you can wait. Wait till after Shabbos. Who says you have to do it now?
I don't understand. How is that any different, meaning... How is that any different than... How is that any different than saying Mechamel Etzel means Mechamel Etzel and nothing less? Meaning, if he says Mechamel Etzel in,
Shlomo Tzarech outside.
We need to get the password for the alarm.
So Yoni was in the middle of asking a question. I didn't understand his question.
Meaning,
again, let's just chazer where we were. We have a Shaila and a Rishonim with two answers so far. The question is, what's the pshat? The question is, what is the pshat in the Gemara? The Gemara tells us that Mishum Yafushehu Ebai Portalo Miyafi. It's mutter, it's aser to be beside the kanim, because it's not really necessary, since it won't get moldy if you wait till after Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. asks the Rishonim, but 1 second, Kanemar Klishma Kulahatr, Klishma Kulahatr, our Mutter even Mechama, let's say, so it should be Mutter to do Avichas Lechama Panim. So we have two answers. Answer number one is the Rich for the Rash, but the Rash who say in the Chanami. It would be Mutter if we follow Rabba. And the Gemara answer here, the Gersa is Rabba. And Rabba says it's also. Why? Because Rabba is not Matir Klishmach Lechama Tzel. It's only Mutter Gufa Mokomo. And just like Gufo would mean, basically, I imagine they would say that's a Shabbos need. This is not a Shabbos need. Do you want to turn on the recording?
Trying.
I can send the...
The recording is totally in the line.
Like, pause.
I can send mine the... Mine
okay.
Okay, fine, yeah.
So, Chora, what they're saying is that Gufo Mokomo means sort of Shabbos, and this is not a Shabbos need. Wait till Motzei Shabbos. But if you hold, like, and what's the Ran saying? The Ran is saying no. That even according to Rava, if you can wait till Motzei Shabbos, you have to wait till Motzei Shabbos. But why? Chamul Tzel is going to, yeah. Chamul Tzel is a need. It's not, it's not Shabbos, but it's Letzorech. But Shalom Letzorech Klal is Aser, even according to Rava. Now, is that a Chiddush? So the answer is yes, it's a Chiddush. Because even if you accept what the Ran says, that Chilto Klishmach Delahatra Shalom Letzorech Klal is Aser, maybe that doesn't mean, that means a needless or a pointless movement of the Klishmach Delahatra. But as long as it's not needless or pointless, like over here, where it's not at all, it's certainly a very good point, not a Shabbos point, you can wait till after Shabbos, but it's not Shalom Klal, that would still be Aser. So what the Ran is saying is no. When we restrict Kli Shemalachto Lehatra Shalom Tzach Klal, we're not just saying pointless movement, we're even saying movement which could wait till after Shabbos. And that is a Chiddush. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's a Chiddush, right?
How's Rebbe defining Chamul Tzel according to Ran?
Chamul Tzel, which presumably means this might get stolen if I don't move it. So, so I can't wait till after Shabbos. Right, I'm afraid this will get stolen. So if I leave my Klishmach Delahatra outside, I'm afraid it's going to get stolen. Can I wait till after Shabbos? No, it's too late. So then I'm allowed to move it. But Seder Panim, can I wait till after Shabbos? Sure. What's going to happen? Nothing. Then I have to wait. And it would be a unlawful movement of the Klishmach Delahatra if I decide to do it on Shabbos.
Meaning, once you assume that, then the first run, the deep wash in a Gemara, then it's saying the same thing in both places. It's just,
okay, great.
You mean you would only know that, you would only know that from the second one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's more. Now, it could be, this is also the position of the Rambam. Why? Because the Rambam Paskins is halacha, that they would wait till after Shabbos. But why? If you learn, like the Mitzvah, the Rashba, the Rosh, so you in Paskinness. Right, and he paskins this. So maybe you see that he also thinks that. Now, there might be another answer in the Rishonim, Tosfos in Sukkah, or the Gedeger, and the like. I don't really understand this Mahalecho refer to it, but which is maybe it doesn't even have Taras Kli. The only purpose is for this mitzvah. Mitzvah doesn't put something Taras Kli, even though it has a tzura of a Kli. I took metal and I shaped it into a pipe, an open-ended pipe. So, but I'm not going to get into that now, but there might be another answer in Rishonim or Achronim or the like. I'd like to focus on these two answers. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, in a couple of places, actually seems to take for granted the approach of the Ran. I don't know. So, discussion of these, actually. And these are relate to a very important question. And the question is, in the world, do I have to try to avoid using a kli shemalach, a kli, if I can? So the Mishnah Berurah writes that, yeah, if you could avoid using a kli shemalach do iser, so you must. And we said, his diuk is a very nice diuk, from the Gemara, because the Gemara says, afshar, you could have a mazel, you could do the hand-holding thing, so memela, it's also to do more. Good? If you look then at the way he, in the Shat Seal, when he brings that here, he actually says it with respect to Krishman Talahatar as well. In the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't say that. But in the Shat Zion, at least taking his cheshbon, it does. Because he quotes our Gemara, Ken Nuchal Shabbos, Kuch Chavdal Ben Aleph, the Gemara de Mishani Makos, Avshak Rabbi Lazar, Hare, the Avshim Uchanin Hayu, Lazem, Erev Shabbos, the Dakin, the Chalakin Hayu, the Shan Krisim Lachto Lehatur, a few lucky cavemen to show what's over who could look him up. The Kol Shekain who should please not listen. It's a Kol Shekain. Ha! Kevaldik a Kol Shekain. But you see, he's saying it, he means Kol Shekain. Now, that is a proof that makes a lot of sense. Aliva de Haran. The din could still be true. Aliba de Lava by Krishman to listen. In other words, the psak in the Mishnah Berurah would be true if whether you learn like the Rashba or you learn like the Ran. But the Mishnah Berurah's formulation is a formulation that presumes the Ran. Now, we'll see later on, there's another place where the Mishnah Berurah takes for granted the Ran as well. I'll tell it to you once we're at it. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Aleph.
I mean, is that any normal Kiddush than the Lashon of the Machaber?
Well, the Shitasa, you think it's not. The Shitasa is a big Kiddush.
No.
In fact, we'll see that many disagree with this Mishnah Berurah. But let me just show you the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Aleph. Here's where he says the Shalot Tzor Chaval Zasser. Hainu im kol ha-yom lo yitzruchanu klal. Aval mitzterchu lo ba'osor yom. So the tzorach machar is going to be asr, right? Now that raya by kli shemalach to lehetar, that raya makes sense, and it's based upon Gemara. That raya makes sense if you learn like the Ran. This is the Taz's point, but not if you learn like the Ritva. Right? Not if you learn like the Ritva. Oh. Now, I want to ask a question. An interesting question. Which is like this. So, we mentioned that we pass Kishlo Tzachal is Asim, or Kishmach Lehetar, right? So, is it mutter to twiddle my knife? There's a famous story. Do you want to go inside? I don't want to finish this up. I don't know what time it is. The good part about going outside is I don't know that.
4:28.
I'd solve that. Fine, so we'll finish up here.
We're going to get a clap in 2 minutes.
So listen like this. So there's a story that once there was a father and a son that were visiting the Rav. And the son was like touching the life. They're a little kid and he was like touching them. And the father said, don't do that, it's muksa. While the father was twiddling his fork. So after the couple, they left, the Rav said to his Talmidim, the father was doubly wrong. There was nothing wrong with what the son was doing, he was just touching him. You touch muksa, you can't do metalto muksa. And the father, while he was telling the son not to do something mutter, was doing something usher, because he was twiddling his fork, and that's tilto kli shemalach to lehetar, shelo letzarach klal, which is awesome. So, now, there's an interesting question though, like this. Which is, maybe you could argue that the Isser of Shalot Tzoch Klal is why? It's because it's a remnant of Zeres Nechemia, right? So what about things about whom Zeres Nechemia was never said? So then it should be Mutter.
right? And that is, in fact, the sock of a number of achronim. Now then you have to figure out, well, what was originally not included in Seres Nechamim? So the Mishnah mentions three things, but many of the Rishonim say, well, it can't just be those three things, right? Does that mean they couldn't move a chair before Seres Nechamim? So then the question is, what does it include? So, let's say like this, you're allowed to twiddle your spoon. So according to the Tosas, it would be mutter, because it has a base kibbutz. According to the Ritva, it would also be mutter, because it's something that you know, it's clay suda, and something that you always use. Okay, so you can twiddle your spoon. What about twiddling... it's against it, right? Against, yeah, we're going to get there in a second. Yes. Yeah. Now, what about twiddling your fork? So that would still be mutter according to Ritva, but l'chara aser according to Tosfos. There's no base kibbutz. What about twiddling your knife? So that should be mutter l'kuli alma, because one of the three things that is excluded from the gzera is a knife. A table knife is going to be okay. So it depends. I don't know what the story was. I don't know what he was twiddling, a spoon, a fork, or a knife. However, maybe he was even twiddling a knife, and the Rav held like the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam doesn't sound like... The Magen Mishnah already made the Rambam, he's machmir for shul tzoch bal. It doesn't sound like he makes any exceptions. Now, the question would be, why in the world would you be machmir? In other words, okay, let's say it's a good diuk in the Rambam. And as he said, Rav Lazar Meir Horowitz makes this diuk. You have a diuk like this from the Gemara later on. The Gemara asks, according to Rav Nechemya, how did they clear the table, right? How did they clear the table? Because you're not allowed to clear the table. And so the Gemara says, yeah, Grasho Rei. What do you mean? Why are you allowed to clear the table? These plates, yeah, it's true they're dirty, but the dirty plates are not before Seres Nechemya. So why did the Gemara assume it's Aser? Presumably, Rabbi Nechemya is also Seres Nechemya. So you see a Raya for the Rambam. Great. Gevaldik a Raya. And yeah, you can be told for the Raya. You can say maybe Rabbi Nechemya is off Muksa. Maybe it's because they're dirty. I don't know. But it's a decent Raya. But I have a Kasha. But what's the logic? In other words, Lamaisa, this wasn't Bechlal the Gzeira. Maybe the Rambam understood that Zeres Nechemya was only to be Matir Kalim where there's a need. And even these things were only Mutter when there's a need. But otherwise it would be Aser. Anyway, that's an interesting question. I want to just go back, make one more point though, about that Mishnah Berurah. So as we said before, the Mishnah Berurah says, Shalai Latzarech Klal, the Mishnah Berurah says if you could avoid it, then you must avoid it, right? If you could avoid it, you must avoid it. Now, first of all, there are some achronim who disagree with the Mishnah Berurah, among them the Tosefta Shabbos. But I want to raise a different question, which is, l'chora, there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah also writes that, well, it doesn't quite say this explicitly, but at the very least, the Prima Gadim and the Shulchan Aruch Harav and other achronim all say that harama is mutter. What is harama mutter? Let's imagine I have a kishmachto l'isser in my backyard, and let's say my hammer is in my backyard, and I'm afraid it's going to rain, it's going to get rusty, it's going to get wrecked. So now I have a shaila. Is there anything I can do to save my hammer from getting wrecked from the rain? The answer is I have a great etza. I'll decide to crack some nuts with my hammer, and then I'll be able to bring it inside, crack the nuts, and in the meantime, I save my hammer from getting wrecked by the rain. Is that mutter or not? So there's a Yerushalmi that more or less sounds like it's aser. Yerushalmi is a story. It's quoted by the Magen Avraham. There were some traps outside, and they were in danger of getting wrecked. And he says, "Oh, you know, you could use them for to sit on them or something like that." Whatever. Sounds like haram is mutter. Good. And the Magen Avraham quotes a Yerushalmi, and sounds like there's a hetter of haram. Now, if you learn, like the Mishnah Berurah, that you're only allowed to use a kli if there's no other option. I'm only allowed to use my hammer to crack nuts if I have no nutcracker. If I have nutcracker, I cannot. So, could you say that and at the same time say haram is mutter? I'm allowed to bring my hammer inside to crack nuts and decide, l'chayr or not? Because In the one, the logic of the Mishnah Berurah is, you know, sort of the reason why you have to use a different kli if you have another kli is presumably a bakoshi, if you will. I don't really want nuts. I'm only pretending to want nuts. And not only that, let's even say harama sounds like it would be mutter even if you had another seat to sit on. Of another seat, but I need to move this trap, so I want this seat dafka. Do I need this seat? Ah. There are lots of other options.
You can't protect the thing without...
So the pashup shot is that there's a stira. Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't explicitly say that harama is mutter, but he does quote the Magen Avraham in Yerushalmi. So, it's very late, apparently, so I'm not going to answer this question now. I think we'll start with this, an answer to this question, Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. Something to think about overnight.
I don't know.
Is it possible to say these two prakim or not?